This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Henry Kissinger, the controversial Nobel Peace Prize winner and diplomatic powerhouse who served under two presidents, has died at 100. His death confirmed by Kissinger Associates. He had plenty of critics.
Human rights took a back seat to Kissinger's power politics approach to policy.
CBS News' Pamela Falk says some people considered Kissinger a war criminal because, among other things, he helped topple foreign leaders, such as Chile's Salvador Allende, and approved the secret bombing of Cambodia. As for the diplomat's legacy,
in the end, you love him or hate him, or recognize that he had free rein and abused that, as well as improved foreign policy tremendously with regard to China and Russia.
Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Former President George W. Bush says America has lost one of the most dependable and distinctive voices on foreign affairs. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter is laid to rest following a funeral at the Carter's Family Church in Plains, Georgia. CBS's Mark Strassman reports from Plains.
Really a sweet and touching day here. Many moments, many family stories that they were shared. What you always kept sight of here was that even though she was in many ways a global figure, to these folks, she was a wife, she was a mom, she was a grandmother, she was a great-grandmother, she was a friend. And that came through very, very clearly.
International mediators are trying to strike a deal to extend a truce between Israel and Hamas, allowing for more hostage exchanges. Israel released 30 Palestinian prisoners today, and Hamas released 16 hostages, including one American. CBS's Holly Williams has spoken with Ghazi Hamad, a senior figure in Hamas.
He said that Hamas is willing to release all the hostages they are holding. That includes all male hostages and Israeli soldiers in return for all Palestinian prisoners currently being held in Israeli prisons.
Hamas has told its fighters in a statement to be ready for renewed battles if the truce with Israel is not extended. A ransomware attack has prompted Ardent Health Services to send some patients to other hospitals. More from CBS's Nicole Skanga.
We're talking about 30 hospitals, 25 emergency rooms, and roughly 200 medical sites in six states across the country. Now, multiple hospitals have also had to divert ambulances through today for more serious patients like stroke victims.
The family that runs the Las Vegas Sands Casino Company says it has entered agreements to buy the majority stake of the Dallas Mavericks from team owner Mark Cuban. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I
didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 24 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 39 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 18. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And as a rarity, today, I have no moniker for the show.
Didn't want to think that hard.
Happy Wednesday to you.
Another hump day. Good to be with you, Mike. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy hump day.
You know, as the announcer says, greatest radio show ever. And I know we've been accused of being too humble around here sometimes.
Sometimes.
But I think we say it just to reassure ourselves sometimes.
Hey, I don't say it. The guy and the announcer says it. I just follow the announcer. What can I do?
Dominic, we are going to have a damn good show today. I assure you and the audience. James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel going to come in at 4:30 or stream in at 4:30. And his column today that describes the racist, bigoted stuff that he has received in the course of doing his professional career as a journalist. We're going to have a discussion about race. And Causey, more a contemporary of ours, Dom, but we're going to talk to an old dog, old radio dog, friend of ours, Earl Ingram, Milwaukee's own, Civic Media's own, WAUK's own. Earl's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to continue this conversation about race through a few different generations and see if the perspectives are different. But Dom, I got to tell you, I've got a differing perspective than an email I received overnight.
Oh, do tell.
From the Wisconsin GOP.
Yeah.
They sent me an email, and let me go back to the inbox. I want to make sure I get this right. It's I can't find the particular spot. But here's the point. It said Milwaukee Braves legend Warren Spahn, and then it's subject lined, unbelievable. I'm like, Warren Spahn, that guy was a great baseball player. And I hear that's Tony Evers' porn name, or pseudonym, as some would say. So I get this unbelievably addressed email from the WIS-GOP. And I thought to myself, I thought I had unsubscribed from their list, but apparently not. And, you know, here's the greatest part. They addressed it to me personally as Middleton, which happens to be the community I live in, but not exactly my name, but, you know, I'll take it. As far as I'm concerned, they can identify me as Middleton, Dom.
You are now known as Middleton.
Middleton, this is not actually the late Warren Spahn, Milwaukee Braves legend. We don't send 17,000 emails over fake names hiding from the public. You know who does, though? Governor Tony Evers. That's right. Tony Evers has been using taxpayer dollars to send and receive at least 17,000 emails under a fake email address, warrenspahn@wisconsin.gov. Read about it here at the Wisconsin Right Now. I'd prefer not to. But, you know, we've been talking about this coverage. We did bring it to your attention, you, the audience. And we don't think it's great that Tony Evers would, you know, follow the prior precedent. I do find it, you know, typical that the GOP would use this as an opportunity to join the fight. Give now. Not working for Wisconsin. You know, they got Tony Evers up at the top here. Is he on the ballot this year, Dom? I'm not sure. Do you think fundraising off Tony Evers is going to be a big money turnout mechanism? I mean, isn't Tammy Baldwin on the ballot? Why don't
Who's the Republican running against Tammy Baldwin again?
Named later.
TBD. Love that band.
Now, here's what it says over when you click the link to join the fight. not working for Wisconsin, Tony Evers, and we're doing everything we can to restore integrity to our sacred institutions.
What?
Not counting the Constitution, of course.
All right. Like fraudulent electors? Is that instilling confidence? You know, fraud? That's what they're down for?
Dominic, join us, the WISGOP, in the fight against corruption and cowardice. Where's the cowardice exactly? And cowardice by contributing any amount to our mission. Even $10 would bring us a step closer to our goal. Now, this would go to the state party, right? Weren't they the fine shepherds of the money that got hacked for like $3 million?
I think they got some of it back.
Now, I understand the national party, the RNC, is starting to cut back on expenses because they're worried because their donations are way down.
Yeah, weird how that happens. And my understanding, several of the state GOP parties are in dire straits as well. Michigan, for example.
Well, I'm not sure what the financial wherewithal of the WISGOP is, but they're fundraising on the fact that Tony Evers has a porn name or a email pseudonym. And I don't like the policy. And I even mentioned Tony didn't come up with this bright idea. It came from the Wankinator, the former governor, right? But our friend Bruce Murphy over at the UrbanMilwaukee.com online daily, I think he covers it best, Tom, when he says Evers' email issue pales compared to Walker. It's not even close, fella. On Sunday, Wisconsin Right Now broke a story reporting that Governor Tony Evers had used an email under a pseudonym that conducted state business with over 17,000 emails sent to and from the account. On Monday, the rest of the media jumped aboard the story, including Wisconsin Public Radio, whose Urban Milwaukee republished. To those who know Evers' history, the name of the account, WarrenSpahn@Wisconsin.gov, might have been a tip-off, as Evers, as a kid, was a huge fan of Spahn, the Hall of Famer and Milwaukee Braves stalwart for many years. The state's top open records champion, Bill Leaders, he's a friend of ours, longtime president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, was widely quoted suggesting this was a problem. But if so, it's one that goes back years, at least to the administration of Republican Scott Walker, who used the pseudonym Kevin.Scott@Wisconsin.gov in conducting government business, as Walker's former chief legal counsel, Katie Ichtowski, noted. And Evers spokesman, Britt Kudebeck, explained that this was part of a digital security practice used for more than a decade to prevent phishing, spam, and other email correspondence that could monitor or disrupt state information technology infrastructure. And when the Evers administration has handled public records requests, it has included any relevant emails from the WarrenSpahn account, something the Journal Sentinel verified in a check of its own records request. So, Dom, one might think there's a better way to handle pesky and malevolent emails, though no one has so far suggested what that might be. But there is so far no evidence that open records rules were evaded by Evers, who apparently has retired the Spahn account and now uses a different, let's call it private-facing email to ward off the email deluge on his official account. Dom, I've sent a few there.
Crudy, all of which is a far cry from the record of Scott Walker, who had a private email system and staffers using private laptops to connect to it. The system was used to hide the illegal campaigning on the public time his staff was doing. Two of Walker's staffers, Kelly Reinflesch and Darlene Wink, were convicted of campaigning on public time to help elect Walker in his successful 2010 campaign for governor. I haven't heard those names in a long time. It kind of brings back memories. Kelly Reinflesch.
Bad memories. Corrupt, criminally corrupt memories.
Yeah, nothing like getting paid by the taxpayers to campaign for your guy, Scott Walker. And that's exactly what they did. They were convicted of it. Good. Continuing, four other aides were also convicted of violating campaign finance laws along with other charges. Records of the investigation showed that Walker's staff used a separate Wi-Fi system, private email accounts, and different laptops to evade security of their activities and operated a private router just 20 feet from his office. In one email, Reinflesch says he used a separate laptop and email, quote, to do things I shouldn't be doing on my county computer. unquote. Walker refused to say whether he knew of or personally used the secret email system, but in some of the emails he appeared to be aware of it. The John Doe investigation of his county office eventually expanded to his administration as governor, but that probe was shut down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of course it was.
That's the former Supreme Court with a lot of conservatives. You know, think the Gablemans and the Patience Rogensacks and the Bad Bradley and the Zieglers, but please continue.
But there was considerable evidence that Walker had a similar operation going on as governor. A close observer of his administration, who attended numerous meetings with his staff, told Urban Milwaukee in a February 2014 story that there was a system that seemed designed, as the county executive office was, to enable staff to do campaign work on government time and evade public records requests of this by using personal laptops and Gmail accounts. The source saw, quote, probably half a dozen staff members who had personal laptops at their desk, including Walker's personal scheduler, Dorothy Moore, and his trusted lieutenant, Keith Gilks, both of whom had worked for him at the county. This included gubernatorial staff on the second floor of the East Wing and some of the so-called policy pit on the first floor below this, where policy analysts for the governor worked. The source said a number of Walker's staff had private email accounts, all using Gmail addresses, by which they communicated with each other and were told to always use a Gmail address to staff to discuss anything political. After the story broke, Walker denied to the media he had such a system. But in October of 2015, a story by Madison TV station WKOW reported that it was leaked some of the private email addresses that Gilks and other staff used. In May, WKOW had asked Walker whether some of his staff had used personal email while working on the public payroll. I don't know, said the governor. I mean, not that I am aware of.
You were the John Doe. You were the target. He knows.
They were doing that. They were working on the taxpayer dime for you. For you, Scott Walker. You think they're just doing that on their own? There's no direction from the county executive? I mean, who walks in and sets up a private email router with nobody knowing? I mean, who knows what the password is? Yeah, really? Really? There's more to this. Perhaps we'll get back to it.
It's but Kevin. Dot Scott.
Scott.
At Wisconsin.gov.
Bruce Murphy. Evers' email issue pales compared to Walker, both as county exec and governor. Scott Walker systematically evaded public scrutiny.
A texter. Are you a bottom or a top? I'm a Middleton.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play, and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Call us 844-967-2789. James Causey, journalist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
And our pal Earl Ingram from WAUK and Civic Media fame joining us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. Stick around for all of it. And we'll make a little time right now for your calls if you dial quick at 844-967-2789. But I just find it so ironic, the WIS-GOP fundraising on the corrupt secret emails of Tony Evers. The irony, Rich. 844 967-2789. Matt from Madison. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey. But first, a quick technical point. Like, I guarantee you the end user agreement on any email system that's generated with a .gov suffix has a FOIA disclaimer. So it's not like they were getting around anything. And that's actually probably true of Scott Walker, right? So that's a they're already overselling it there. But the funny thing is, this is it kind of is very on brand, where the Republicans love to look for a crime before it's even happened, right? Because the crime would be denying a FOIA request, freedom of information and whatever, by using this email. But there's no proof that's happened. These guys are always looking for a crime.
You're missing the actual crime. The actual crime was campaigning on the taxpayer dollar. The crime is not the
100%.
That's why they're using the secret email router system, is because Scott Walker's got his staff campaigning for him. A different crime.
No,
different crime.
Wrong. The right, because the server, the literal .gov servers, are protected and have FOIA requirements every time you log into them. That's why he went with Gmail, because that stuff doesn't exist. But the other thing,
Walker
is,
and his staff.
I do love that this is the best they have. The best thing that they've been able to come up with to get Tony since 2018 is he did as bad as our guy, but not even kind of in reality. It's I don't know. I love it because that's the best they can come up with. Like, it's like butthurt emails. That's how bereft of ideas they are as a whole party.
Matt, do you recall the cascading corruption under the Scott Walker administration, the 14,000 emails released to The Guardian once upon a time, the checks far exceeding campaign finance limits written to coordinating third-party groups because Scott Walker asked? I mean, do they really want to relive the John Doe? Because I remember a lot of the details.
It wasn't great, man.
It cascaded until the Supreme Court stepped in and stopped it, and they just rewrote the law.
And said, burn all the evidence, get rid of the Government Accountability Board and the John Does, and raise campaign finance caps. And effectively, Matt, thank you for calling, effectively allow unlimited donations to the party conduits. And then, damn it, wouldn't you know it, the Democrats hired their own rainmaker in Ben Winkler. That's not worked out so well for the party of Wanker.
Be careful of what you wish for. But Tony's emails, 844-967-2789. Tom from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, Ben, Tom.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you caught the latest scandal. Tom Tiffany is on his Facebook page is calling for defunding the United Nations. It's because they asked Americans to eat less meat. Snowflake much?
You know, Tom, I saw from one of the texters, and I think it was Cam from Nina, curious what your guy's opinion on emotional support animals is. And I thought to myself, Tom, well, sometimes they're delicious.
Terrible.
Beautiful, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Tom. I'm an equal opportunity offender, Tom.
I like to bring this pet calf onto the plane, please.
Wasn't
I love veal.
Wasn't the little lamb Mary's support animal?
Exactly.
I bet he was just great with some mint jelly. Go ahead.
This piece at the Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, you know, kind of articulating some of the issues that Scott Walker put all of us through when he, you know, worked to go from the county executive here in Milwaukee County up to the governor's office. And as mentioned, his lieutenant in this article, they use Gmail. So I get Matt's point, you know, on a .gov, there's requirements, whatever. But if you slide in a Gmail account, you can get anybody to get a Gmail account. If you got an internet access, you can get to it. And who was it? Wasn't there one of the, I know, Crude, you got the great memory here, but was there one of the people in Walker's circle who wanted people, when they talked about things, said verbally, don't put it in writing. Have a conversation.
Hell, that might have been his chief legal counsel, Brian Hagedorn, now Supreme Court Justice, or maybe it was the principal. I think it was Wanker that effectively told his troops, do not write it down. Only deliver information in a verbal form because we don't want any evidence.
It might have been Mike Hipps. A little more from Bruce Murphy.
Mike Hipps was the number one at the Department of Administration. He was his top cabinet officer, air quotes.
WKOW reporters requested all of the emails sent to or from the personal email address of Gilks, the former Department Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch, and Walker's second chief of staff, Eric Shute, that contained official state business communications. The governor's office ultimately sent 980 pages worth of emails to 27 News on Monday, October 12th, nearly 4 months after our initial request, WKOW reported. In the first year of the Walker administration, state business was conducted through more than 300 personal emails. In an attempt to justify the private email system, Walker's press secretary, Laurel Patrick, told WKOW, "Our office also routinely trains staff to forward any emails related to state business to their official accounts for the purpose of retention." But the station noted that dozens of the emails 27 News received were never sent to an official state account until they were forwarded to the government email address of Governor Scott Walker's chief legal counsel, Brian Hagedorn, on July 31st of 2015. That date comes 4 years after the emails were originally written and 2 months after our open records request. Of course, Hagedorn now serves as the Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
No, John Doe, burn the evidence. Get rid of the referees. I mean,
but can you send me $10? The Wisconsin GOP asked because Tony Evers has an email address that's not his name on a .gov server. Give us money. But don't worry about Walker. Yeah, yeah. Really?
I would never bring up Scott Walker again. Do you realize it's been going on 5 years since Scott Walker was governor?
Wow.
And it could be longer and longer and longer.
It will be. He's not running. What are you talking about?
Do you think he's
but
still?
But he's obviously. He has left his mark, shall we say, Curdy?
He peed on every lamppost in this state, Dom.
We used to really relish the Walker bashing. I mean, it was so easy, and it is so easy. I mean, you want to talk about corruption, Wisconsin GOP? Read the Bruce Murphy article. Hell, call Crudy. He remembers all of this
case
stuff.
In verse. Most of it
he
case in verse.
You. I mean, come on. All you got to do is look at your own folks. So yeah, is it disingenuous? Absolutely. Will they get any money? Maybe a little. Are they hypocrites? Yes.
Big time. As our buddy Joe used to say.
Big time, baby.
Happy birthday, Joe Steinhaus.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe.
I saw his daughter posted. So, you know, at least I acknowledged. Also, happy birthday, Phil D. He's the godfather down in Richland Center.
Happy
I don't
birthday,
usually
Joe.
Do birthdays on the air, but, you know, a few friends. Come back, James Causey. We're going to turn it a little serious now. A serious conversation about race. James Causey, a black journalist at the Journal Sentinel. And you would not believe the tone of the, let's just say, hate mail he gets. James Causey, what the Devil's Advocates next.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Maxine Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 24 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 39 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 18. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. We welcome a fine guest, a returning champ. He is James Causey, a journalist from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, thank you for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
You wrote a hell of a piece, an opinion piece, today in the paper. I'm worn from years of racial slurs, but I'll no longer be silent about bigotry. This was pretty candid stuff. Why now?
Well, actually, I wrote the piece shortly after Miss Lumpkin at Channel 4 went through what she went through, where she was at Country Thunder, and a white guy came up to her. She was a journalist at Channel 4, and a white guy came up to her and called her the N-word. And about a week later, I wrote a piece basically saying that I've experienced that and much worse. But when I wrote it, my editor told me, he said, I think we could do this better than that. Why don't you take some time and really make it bigger and better? And I did. So over the course of time, I wanted to not just really talk about what I went through, but I just wanted to shed light on how some people feel about African-Americans in this city and in our state. And so I really didn't want the piece to be just about me, but I wanted the piece to be more about how certain people view other people just based on their race and based on where they live. And that's the point I really want to hammer home, because I've been taking this forever. And I guess I'm a warrior at this, but what I really want to show is that racism has not gone away. And if anybody believes it has, they're mistaken. And it's time to really speak out about it.
James, if you don't mind, let's talk about your experience, though. I know you don't want to make it just about you, but you've been through a lot as a journalist, just doing your job.
Right.
You started getting letters. Tell us about that experience, please.
Well, yeah. So I really want to paint this picture of what I experienced. And the first experience that I had when I received a letter calling me the N-word, it was like the first time I ever received something like that in writing. And, honestly, it caught me off guard. So I didn't really tell anybody. I just took the letter. I read it probably like 10 times in a row. And then I put it away in my drawer. at work. And I went back and I read my piece again, and like, you know, why would he call me that, you know? And I was trying to figure out why, you know, a person would personally attack me like that. And then as I continued to write more and more, more letters started to come, and I just didn't understand it. So, you know, I had brief talks with two of my mentors, Eugene Cain and Greg Stanford, two legendary Black journalists in the city who both passed away. But, you know, I like to bring them up because they meant a lot to my career. And they both had two different takes. Eugene Cain, who a lot of people remember, was more, he told me, you know, just suck it up and just keep standing on their necks. But Greg Stanford took more of a fatherly approach, and he basically told me to, you know, rise above the hate and just keep telling my story, but, you know, really, you know, take a break from it, but keep coming back at these issues because they need to be discussed. But the letters got worse and worse, and letters turned into emails, emails turned into letters I started receiving at home. And then it just, over time, it just gets to you, man. It wears you out.
It must. James Causey from the Journal Sentinel, a very moving piece, an opinion piece published today. I'm worn from the years of racial slurs, but I'll no longer be silent about the bigotry. It does add up, sir. And I can't tell you I've gone through anything analogous in my life, because I have not. As a white guy, I look like somebody's stepdad. I get a pretty easy living out here in the world. But it's not like you have sought out these sort of racial epithets. It's not through your actions, except the simple act of doing journalism. How do you not take that home to your family? How do you not get discouraged at doing your job? Does it ever affect your desire, James, to want to tell the truth as a journalist must?
Well, no, that would never stop me from being a journalist. I once told my mother, I said, Mom, if you do something bad, I'm going to write about it. So no, that hasn't changed. I've been a journalist all my life. I mean, I started working at the paper at the age of 15. I started working at the community journal at the age of 14. So journalism is pretty much all I know. I've had two jobs in my life. I worked as a busboy at Sizzler Steakhouse when I was in high school, and I did that for like 6 months. And then after that, I've been working at newspapers all my life. So that hasn't changed. But what has changed is how people feel like they have, like they could just say anything to you and there's no consequences. And, you know, when Taylor Lumpkin went through what she went through, you know, she took to Twitter and said, hey, this guy just called me the N-word. I'm just doing my job. And she received like 1.3 million views on her Twitter page after she said that. And I was like, well, I experience this all the time. I mean, think about this. You go to work every day and you get like snail mail. You open up your snail mail, somebody's calling you a coon or an N-word or this or that, a monkey. You know, they marked up your columns calling you N-word every single time you mention the word black. I mean, over time, it wears you down to the point where you just get angry. So I went from being angry to feeling sorry for some of these people because they just don't know any better to, you know, some letters I just really want to post, but I pulled back because I don't want to use my bully pulpit in that way. But over time, it's just ridiculous. Nobody should endure that. And I'm not going to take it anymore, or else I'm just going to quit. That's just bottom line. I'm not going to take it anymore, or else I'm going to quit. I'm going to always be a journalist, but I'm not going to be a journalist that takes that crap from anyone.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Causey, a columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Big piece today. Hell of a piece. Thank you for writing it. And I got to tell you, man, when I was reading this, it broke my heart. Now, I realize, obviously, I don't believe racism is gone. But to see you write this down and the way you express it and the way it made you feel and how you've evolved, but how this has shaped you, James, it's really touching. In the piece at the Journal Sentinel, you have one of the sub headlines as, you know, you can't, you know, be beating people over the head with racism all the time. But it seems like you kind of, perhaps maybe we should be talking about this more often. I was shocked, James. I got to tell you, man. I figured there's a few people out there here and there, but the amount and the vitriol that was sent your way, and even when you try to, you know, reach out to some folks and say, hey, let's go to lunch and talk about it. What happened there, James?
Yeah, so this one guy, he writes me a lot, and he's always criticizing the Black community, and he's always saying negative things about the Black community. And it was, we came across this weekend where there was a lot of violence in the neighborhood or in the Black community. And he sent me this email that was poignant. And he basically said, you know, this is terrible. How come nobody's speaking out about this? And I said, you know, I understand it's terrible, but there's a lot of things that contribute to the violence that we see in communities all the time. You want to sit down and talk about it, I'll treat you to coffee. A coffee makes you Black. Maybe we could grab a meal and just, you know, talk about it. He was like, let me think about it. So, you know, the day before we had set the date up, and the day before I sent him an email saying, are we still on at noon at Coffee Makes You Black? It's a coffee shop on the north side. He responds with this email message saying, you know, I thought about it, James, but knowing you, you'll probably just sneak out the back and leave me stuck with the bill or something to that effect. It was something really
unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the part that really hurts, because it really sets the tone that some people really don't want to have real conversations about serious topics. They just rather complain and spit out what they think they know, but they really don't want to have real conversations. And that's the part that's troubling, because if we don't, I try to create space for dialogue, you know, and I try to create space where we can have conversations and not jump over each other when we make mistakes, because usually when you have conversations about race, feelings are going to get hurt. But if you're going to act like that, then there's no, I don't have time for people like that anymore. And I'm not going to make time and space for people like that who really don't want to have real conversations. They just want to continue along their racist tirades. So I'm changing the way that I do things. And I think people are going to notice that right away.
In that vein, James, how does the newsroom fit into this, in your opinion?
Well, honestly, the newsroom has a long ways to go. And it's just not our newsroom. This newsroom's all across the country. We don't talk about race that reporters go through. And, you know, that's why I felt that it was important to do this. No one has ever talked to me about any kind of things that I've experienced. And we know racism exists. I never had a boss come up to me and say, hey, James, I know that was a hard piece for you to write. You want to talk about it? Nobody's ever done that kind of stuff, you know? And that's got to change in newsrooms, not just our newsroom, but newsrooms everywhere. And it should be a topic of conversation that we need to have. And it's not just around just race. It's also around the misogyny that a lot of the women reporters face as well, because this isn't just a racial thing. It's a misogynistic thing. Some female reporters have talked and expressed some things that were said to them about people who shouldn't be saying those things about them, some of the words that they've been called, some of the things that they've been called, the cat calls that they receive. None of that stuff should take place, because we wouldn't tolerate this in any other field. And you know what's funny? I work for a company that makes us take all these diversity and inclusion type tests. You know, you have to sit in front of your computer for an hour and say, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I do these all the time, right? Like everybody in the newsroom. But still, there's nothing to inform the public of how they should conduct themselves when they deal with us. You know, so the public could be racist to us and treat us any kind of way, but we can't respond back, and we're supposed to take that? No. That's got to change. There needs to be a societal change on the way that we treat each other. You know, I'm just trying to do my job like anyone else, and I should be entitled to do that without being called names and called out my name.
James Causey, I wonder, how much do you think right-wing talk radio, the juggernaut that right-wing talk radio is, affects the narrative on race in the community of Milwaukee, especially when so often I hear the Dan O'Donnells, the Mark Bellings look to lead with the crime pages and look to cast the city of Milwaukee as a place of criminals. Does that factor in, do you think, to the greater attitudes?
Well, I think it all factors in. It's not just talk radio. It's the way we cover media in general, covers communities of color, and how it covers disadvantaged communities. I mean, we still, you know, even television news does this as well. if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, how many times can you watch, you know, in the news and the first couple of things that they give you is all trauma? Other than weather, you're bombarded with trauma. You're bombarded with a shooting, a high-speed chase, crash, a stabbing, a fire. There's no positive, there's hardly any positive news stories. So we're bombarded with this over and over again. So people, we live in such segregated communities, we don't really cross paths except at work. So if the media doesn't change the way that it covers communities, then, you know, we're part of the problem too. And so we have a long ways to go. So I'm not just going to blame talk radio. It's all of us. It's general news as well. We all have to do a better.
James, I know we're short on time. I want to ask you one more question. DEI, yeah. Diversity, inclusion. Robin Voss, the Republicans certainly take issue. They're willing to undermine the entire UW system to try and take out any inclusiveness. Any opinions? You talked about you're a different man now, James. How would you deal with this in future journalism?
Well, you know, when I first heard him, when he came up with this plan to eliminate diversity and inclusion, my thought was, okay, why? Why do we want to do this when we realize that we have a race problem? Instead of finding out ways to kill talking about race, we need to be more inclusive and find ways where we could discuss our differences so we could figure out how to fix this. If we don't, nothing will change. And I don't want my kids dealing with the same thing that I've gone through with. You know, so that's just my take on it.
James Causey, well, we invited you on because we wanted your take. It was a strong one today. Read the column. We've posted it at our Facebook page. And, you know, don't be cheapskates. Subscribe to the Journal Sentinel. Support good journalism like the work James Causey does. James, thank you so much for joining us. Very difficult topic.
Thank you. And it's going to be in the paper on Sunday, so grab the paper too.
Excellent. Thank you for that. More Devil's Advocates. Yeah. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our phone lines are open for your calls, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a fine guest, James Causey. If you have not read the piece yet, make some time. Read it. The title, "I'm Worn from the Years of Racial Slurs, but I'll No Longer Be Silent About Bigotry." It's on the digital Journal Sentinel today and will be in the Sunday paper this Sunday. Feel free to pick it up. Thank you, James Causey, for your candor. Hard for me to say, but I mean it. Thank you, James.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, and you can read it, and you know the guy is just putting his soul on the paper. You know, I mean, you can't read this piece and not feel it. If you have any empathy and concern about racism in this country, it's and unfortunately, I wonder also with all the, you know, with the past administration, Trump, you know, talking about the media being the enemy of the people and all that. I wonder if that's, you know, picked up in the last 6 years versus, you know, the years prior. But we certainly appreciate James's time.
And we also appreciate our friend Earl Ingram, our colleague. He's been our buddy since about the time we launched in Milwaukee, Dom. Earl Ingram joined the team on February 1st of 2017. He's been broadcasting with us since then. is going to join us in the Happier Happy Hour, give us his perspective on race. And he's a little older man than James. A little older man than us, too, Dev. We won't hold it against him. But
no, not all. With that comes the wisdom.
Yes, hopefully. Not so much always, but so.
Well, we'll see what happens.
844-967-2789. Your opinions. Welcome here. Welcome, Jan from Madison. What do you got for us?
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Well, I wanted to say something about the diversity initiative at the university, since I did participate in some of the preliminary educational sessions.
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
And I found that they were extremely beneficial, and they are in no way geared towards race solely. They are programs that are set up to help people understand differences. And what I mean by that is we, disabilities, type A versus non-type A people, just learning that not everyone is like me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But again, Robin Boss and others like him, they like to see us all bickering with one another and not finding any common ground, because that helps them get away with the things that they're getting away with. But yeah, and so I don't understand it, why they would not want an educated group of people coming up, other than they maintain their power by using their aggressive behavior to discriminate against people.
Well, I think you pretty much checked all the boxes there, Jan. Excellent call. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, but I won't go into them.
Fair enough. Thank you for your call, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. It is, and let's not forget, this is the divide and conquer party, right? I mean, that's what Scott Walker said.
The Walker party was, yes, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
We never had a worry when Walker was the governor about leading with the crime story, because it was always Walker bashing, man. He earned it each and every day.
844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, you're up. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jack.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to say that every Democrat is innocent of this, but the Republican Party has made open and non-dog whistle, even just blatant racism, just fine, thank you. Whether it was the ads that allowed arguably the least qualified and worst senator in the entire Senate to regain his seat, or
Ron Johnson, you reference against Mandela Barnes, they did quite a bit of racial profiling and contrasting him and comparing him with the Waukesha parade killer, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that was really a disgusting ad campaign, and Johnson didn't exactly repudiate it either. But
repudiate it?
I mean,
it was the central foundation of his campaign.
Yeah. Plus, you got guys like Tommy Tuberville in the Senate, who is creating havoc and admitted racist. And you got, I can't remember the name of the guy that was running for the Speaker of the House, and he said, "I'm David Duke without the baggage."
Steve Scalise.
Excuse me? Jeez. I mean, this is, it's so disgustingly blatant. I'm an old white guy, okay? I marched in many of the civil rights marches back in the 60s. That's how old I am. And I wasn't a child either. And now I see this kind of crap coming around again. I'm sorry, I shouldn't probably use that word on the air, but it's just, it's disgusting. That's all I can say.
Well, Jack, crap's not going to get us banned by the FCC, so you're okay for now. You're still a friend of the devil's. Thanks for your call.
And it's pertinent. And it's a great descriptor, and it is disgusting. 844-967-2789. Stick around, Jack. You know, our buddy Earl Ingram is going to come around at the 5 o'clock hour. He's about your age. We'll get into some of those civil rights marches, perhaps. Cam, a little younger, up in Nina. Welcome, Cam. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, so one thing that I think people need to understand for any of this these racial issues when we talk about them, I genuinely think that a lot of these people out here that think like, oh, black gangs, black crimes, like they're a big problem. Milwaukee is black crime central. They are not capable of viewing things in someone else's shoes. So a short history lesson, I'm not sure which Republican president it was, but I am pretty sure, certain that it was the Reagan administration, like most things. They contributed a lot to the continued segregation, housing, lowering values for homes in black neighborhoods. And I believe they're...
When Ronald Reagan made his announcement for the presidency, he went to Philadelphia, Mississippi, which was a site of basically racial violence. And some said he picked it purposefully. And you might be shocked if you look back and if memory serves, I believe his motto was make America great again.
Yeah, and I don't believe it, considering his administration knowingly allowed the CIA to put crack cocaine into the black communities to get them addicted.
Well, his heart and his mind told him he wasn't committing any crimes.
But the facts said otherwise.
Cam, and by the way, I won't really eat your support animal. I was just trying to make funny on the radio. You know, I'm not that weird. Come back with us, Earl Ingram. He will not eat your animal either. He's a good guy. He's a friend of ours. You'll want to stick around.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media.